wanted you to tell our friend Sindlinger that I just talked to Pete Brennan and Frank Fitzsimmons and told them that I only did it because he advised it.
Well, it was beautiful, Mr. President. It was right on the money. I mean, just exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think the important thing was not just the freeze, which was important, but as David and Julie and Mrs. Nixon both all agreed, was the attitude, you know, that as Julie said, you know, you were almost cocky, but she liked it. But I deliberately, as you noticed, Chuck, I delivered it fast, tough. I thought, God darn it, I'm sick of this crap.
Yep.
Did you get that feeling, or wasn't, don't you think we needed a little of that at this time?
Oh, absolutely, Mr. President, that's what I've been saying. It was upbeat at the beginning and upbeat at the ending. And I don't like controls any better than you do, but it was exactly what the American people needed to hear right now.
You think so, huh?
Oh, God, and you hit it right in the two places where they're grumbling the most, gasoline prices and food.
Yeah.
And
oh, John Connally came through on both on the gas prices, and well, I tell you, it practically killed Schultz, but he took it and swallowed.
I could tell tonight listening to John Chancellor on the commentary afterwards that Schultz had a tough time buying this, but...
Oh, the hell with the Chancellor.
The most important thing, Mr. President, which is purely psychological, hasn't got a damn thing to do with the economy, hasn't got a damn thing to do with prices.
It's leadership, huh?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the American people saw their president.
Incidentally, we had a good day, too. You know, we had this, only the sophisticates were understanding, but we had a damn good agreement in Paris, you know.
Oh, I think, well...
That communique is fantastic. It doesn't mean that peace is here, but it does mean we've improved it. And it would happen only because for the last 5 days, in addition to these other things, I've been sending the most caustic message to Q. I told him yesterday in a message, I said he either signed or I'd stop all aid. And he signed.
That's the way to bring him to terms.
Yep.
Now, things are taking a very different turn, Mr. President. I think
you feel that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all around. On the international front, I thought the way you brought Brezhnev in tonight was tremendous. I thought
Bill's up to visit.
The end of the draft, the fact that this is the first time in 12 years that we've been...
Nobody's being killed. The prisoners are home. We've got to remind people of that, Chuck. We've done great things. And you think of this stinking damn Watergate.
Oh, hell.
How does it compare? They tell me, incidentally, that Stans has been a good witness. I haven't heard, but...
Stans has been a superb witness.
Has he?
Yeah.
I don't watch this crap, but you do.
Oh, my God, you shouldn't.
Yeah. But you know, he's an honest man, Chuck.
Yeah,
all of our people are honest.
Yeah, but what he's got, basically, he's got some guts. You know, he just sat there and he dished it right back to him. And, of course, he caused Baker to finally come out of his...
shell. Even Gurney, I understand, finally took on Irvin.
Oh, God, Gurney was tough today. Gurney was really tough. And... now we're going to get a little time. I don't know whether you saw that Star piece tonight.
No. What is it?
Well, it had a big piece that Dean and I are now pitted against each other on the early edition. They cut it out of the last edition.
Oh, pitted against each other, is it?
Yeah.
It's an Adelaide, though. On Dean, it's a curious. Apparently, Cox has decided not to give him transactional immunity. Is that true?
No, that's right. You remember I mentioned to you Sunday, the prosecutors hate his guts.
Yeah.
And
then under the circumstances then,
he's had it.
Dean has got a real problem with use immunity. He's got to be careful because he could either get, first he could get perjury.
That's right.
The second thing is, though, that he might want to confess to as much as he could so that he avoids the other. Now, would that be and poisons a trial. That's what they told me his strategy is. Is that right?
Won't help him a bit, you see, because what they did, the moment that Sirica gave him use immunity, the Glanzer and Silbert called him in before the grand jury, asked him every question, and he took the Fifth Amendment. And that means that they will be able to establish that they had the evidence before he divulged it himself.
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead. And the star piece tonight was that the two of us are pitted against each other.
You don't want to be pitted against anybody, Chuck. Doggone it, I don't want you hurt in this thing. You know that? I don't want you hurt.
It doesn't matter, Mr. President.
Oh, the hell it doesn't.
Well, it,
you're our man, and you and...
Yeah, but...
I stand with all my people. Doggone it, you fought the battle, and we know you've had to do some things that were damned important for us, and I'm not going to let this little pipsqueak knock you down.
But you passed this way once in this world, and my great satisfaction is seeing what you're doing for the country, and that's all I really care about. But the thing with Dean is that I've met him head on,
he'll say some terrible things, I imagine, when he goes up Friday, and we've got to be prepared. I've got Bizarre and all prepared to put out a brief one-sentence disclaimer. somewhere, but that's about all we're going to do. I don't think we ought to get, the president ought to get in a fight with John Dean. What do you think?
Absolutely not. It'd be the worst thing we could do.
Because he's going to charge that I told him to pay off Bittman and all that. But on the other hand, Bittman's got a problem here, hasn't he? He isn't going to agree to that, is he?
No, sir. No.
He should deny it.
Dean is going to be out there all by himself.
Really?
Yes, sir. And when even Newsweek labels him as a turncoat, then you know he's in trouble.
A Judas. He's a Judas and a turncoat.
Well, they can't. They just can't make him. They can't make him well. I don't think so. No, sir. I had a whole group of people from around the country yesterday. That we represent.
You really don't think you can make him well?
No, they can't rehabilitate him. And his pictures are terrible. The one in the Times on Sunday was...
You told me about that, yeah.
The one in the Star tonight was terrible. The photo editors were helping us. They had two pictures of one of me and one of him. His looked, I thought, awful. He just looked a little deceitful.
Yeah.
Then Newsweek had that thing of him, the preppy, you know, the boy from prep school routine. They have not built him up, and I don't think they can.
They really ought to, though, Chuck, because he's their witness. Okay. Cox, they tell me, wants to build him up, and so does Dash, but they don't know how. Isn't that it?
Yes, but Cox can't, Mr. President, because...
The prosecutors won't let him?
The prosecutors will not let him, and they've...
You were telling me something else. What was it?
Yeah, I've been in some communication with the prosecutors, and they just aren't going to let this guy get off. They're going to go ahead. They are going to indict him.
Well, they've got to indict him to let him off. They may not have many more to indict if they let him off.
That's correct.
Huh?
That's right.
Well, they ought to get him because, God damn it,
well, he was
he's like, guilty as hell.
He was a central figure in it.
He was a central figure. Now, understand, we all know he may have thought he was doing it for the cause.
Yeah, but he deceived a lot of people.
But he deceived all of us.
He deceived me. He deceived you.
I hadn't the slightest idea what had happened. I didn't know he'd gone to, I mean, this, particularly the CIA thing, to ask Walters to put them on the CIA payroll is unbelievable.
Yeah, really.
Now, you know, you wouldn't have asked it. Ehrlichman, I wouldn't. That's the damnedest thing I ever heard of. It sounds like a kid.
Well, there's a judgment factor that comes into play. You see, John is just young. He was born to some wealth.
Was he?
Yes, sir. He's never had to kind of scrape and dig. I've had to.
I have to, right. That explains this.
It's with people, you know, because you learn. You learn to take a little bit of the rough knocks, and John's never had any.
I think he's sort of a pretty boy that had all the rest. Incidentally, I have not been pleased with Richardson.
No, I don't.
Not at all. And I know you've been very high on him, but I thought his saying the president ought to get himself his own personal lawyer and all that, his saying that he said two or three things that have been very disturbing to me, and we have really, and Haig has brought him in on the carpet.
Well,
he either shapes up, he's either the attorney general for the president of the United States, or he's out.
Well, I
and I'd put him out damn fast, too.
The only thing about Elliot that
we
I...
We don't owe him a damn thing.
No, Christ. The only thing I can say about Elliot is that he is a very tough politician.
Yeah, I know. You've always said that, but
yes.
He hasn't acted that way lately, Chuck.
No, I agree. He hasn't. From what he's said.
Yeah.
said, I've been appalled at it, frankly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But he may be building up he may be trying to build up a record. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, he can't build it up against the president. He can't, you see, the idea that he told Haig a couple of days ago that he ought to keep a little distance between him and the president.
Oh,
Haig,
cool.
Haig just raised hell with him. He says, you kid yourself.
I mean, it's good to have Al because
Al... Oh, Al's so tough.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. But, you know, Elliot can't do this, Chuck. He can't do this.
No,
he can appoint this jackass Cox, but
yeah.
But Elliot Richardson is the attorney general of the United States.
Right.
And, incidentally, we really rolled him on one thing. You know, he violently opposed the appointment of our FBI guy. Violently.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, good God. Oh, God, yes. And because he wanted a Harvard or some Ivy League dean or criminologist, and I turned him down. And so we got this nice cop out there who was an FBI guy in a graduate law school, and he violently opposed him, and Al Haig just rolled him.
Well,
I want... If you got a chance to talk to anybody, be sure you get the story out. Elliot Richardson put it out, and I rolled him. I rolled him.
I think it's marvelous, Mr. President, because what you have is a guy who is first of all, he's Irish.
FBI, cop,
yep.
25% decrease in crime.
And the blacks don't.
And the blacks don't like him.
Yeah.
And finally, I don't know the guy, so there's no problem of influence.
Well, he's a perfect appointment.
Yeah.
I've heard from some of my FBI friends around the country, like the recent
yeah.
fellow down in Atlanta.
What do they say?
Oh, they're thrilled to death. They think he's the best appointment.
Well, get out a little story. Well, when I say get it out, you do your best judgment so it isn't.
No,
but I just say that Elliot, the real friend, that Elliot Richardson violently opposed. He did. Oh, we had one hell of a time with him.
Well, that's a shame, because...
I don't care. No shame. God damn it. Elliot's over there with Jonathan Moore. What the hell do you think they'd come up with?
Well,
what in the name of God do you think they'd come up with?
You know, Mr. President, that the dirtiest campaign in Massachusetts political history was conducted in 1964 by Elliot Richardson. The Boston Herald Traveler, the staunch...
Republican.
Bastion of conservative republicanism, blasted him in a front-page editorial. I mean, Elliot is a gut fighter, and...
Well, he better start fighting for me, or he's going to be out.
Well, I'd get him out if he...
Yeah, and fast, and he's got to get that message.
Well, if he isn't willing to play that...
That's right. I want him to do right, but he must not gut the president.
Oh, God, I'd be... Knowing him as long as I have, I'd be just damn surprised if he did.
Well, he has so far.
Yeah, I agree.
So far, he's been very bad.
What he has said, I have not... I've been kind of horrified.
Well, in any event, they haven't called you yet, have they?
I've called them twice this week asking to come, and they don't want me.
Yeah, they're scared of you.
Oh, hell, they know damn well what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And,
you mean the committee?
Sure. They don't want me.
Yeah.
Get me eventually.
So they're going to get... this week, they got Magruder and then Dean...
Yeah, Magruder will try to drag me into it. Dean will try to drag me into it.
Oh, of course, Chuck. Good God, we know that. Let him drag. And
but I called twice and asked to come up.
Maybe you should make a point of that to the press.
I have.
All right.
I have. It was,
okay.
Somebody picked that up this week. It was careful.
Give Sendlinger a call and call me back if he would as to what he thought of the whole damn thing. Would you do that?
I'll do that.
So I'm not talking to him directly. I think it's not wise for me at the moment.
All right. No, I'll call
him. Would you mind?
I'll call him and call